Folks, I hope that you will use this as a unique opportunity for a tech call. You know how you sometimes have to answer, you call up those problem lines and you wait forever to get an answer to your questions? Well, if you call us right now, toll free at 800-859-0957, we've got a whole bunch of people in studio here who will do their very best to answer your questions about your computer, about your cell phone or tablet or whatever else it may be. But you got to call 800-859-0957. And our mantra here is the only dumb question is the one you don't ask.
And if somebody has an easy question out there, we'd like to start with an easy one. That's always good. We'd like to get one under our belt here. You know.
I'm sitting there thinking to myself, it's 3 days after Christmas and there's some guy still on the floor with all these parts. He's looking at the instructions going like, what should I do? This computer won't go together. Maybe I'll call the internet advisor.
Yeah, there you go.
That's exactly it.
I've already fielded several questions from relatives and friends. And the first thing I say is go to Ninite.com, N-I-N-I-T-E.com, and download and install Classic Start for your Windows 8 system, because they're going, a lot of them are still going from XP or Vista.
Yes.
And they miss that start menu.
Yep.
And they just don't want to spend the time to learn the Windows 8 modern interface.
If there's any hope, folks, I've been working with the Windows 10 preview.
Yes.
And in Windows 10, by the way, we're going to have some folks from Microsoft on with us this coming month in January. Mm. On the 21st of January, Windows will officially launch the Windows 10 preview for consumers.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Some of us have been victimizing ourselves and our machines.
Foster, did you see that article I sent you?
I know.
Oh, Foster had a problem with the Surface where he installed the 10 version on a Surface. And what happened was is that after a while, it just became jello.
Oh,
and he had to give it to
Microsoft
to actually to fix it, because it actually somehow corrupted the restoration partition that's on the Surface.
Yeah.
And what did Microsoft do this week? They've actually made available the restoration partition creation utilities. So if you had a Windows 8 system and you needed to reinstall it, and somehow that partition became corrupted, you have the ability to reinstall it.
Which is really
good
news.
Similar, and I think a lot of Windows 10 beta testers were running into that.
But getting back to your point, Eddie, a lot of people now are finding that for a new, if you're going to get a new Windows device, it's got Windows 8.1 on it. And yes, you will still find somewhere you can go back to Windows 7. Or a few that have Windows 7 on it. But in general, the gifting that's going on, if there's gifting, or by people buying new laptops, great prices out there this year, are going to find Windows 8 on there. And so your point is very a good one, that there are places you can go to get a start menu for Windows 8.1 that will look a lot like Windows 7 did, and will be much more familiar to you, much more comfortable.
And that way the laptop or the new desktop doesn't end out the window in that snowdrift.
Well, and a lot of people are getting new computers, and they've got to figure out how to get their old stuff onto the new computer. And that's something we can help with as well.
Hey, guys, look, maybe we'll talk a little bit about what are some of the first things you should do when you get a new laptop. We can talk a little bit about that. But, folks, I want to tell you again, for those of you who are...
I just had a nasty thought.
Uh-oh.
Go to the corner store, pick up a six-pack or something.
Whatever your poison is.
Your poison is.
And drum. By the way, we want to welcome...
Make your own screensaver. Yeah, that looks like it's right.
I want to welcome Irina. Irina is sitting in tonight for Annie Nichols. Irina, thank you very much. She is going to be our lady of the phones tonight, and she's waiting to take your calls at 800-859-0957. Why should you call? Well, if you've got a question about your computer, about staying connected to the internet, it's a great way to get an answer for it. And when you do ask your question, a whole lot of other people benefit from it. We have a lot of fun talking with you as well. So please take advantage of that toll-free number that's open there at 800-859-0957. It's open until 6 o'clock. It's a unique opportunity for you to have a tech call in your own native language with a bunch of guys who are really good at answering those questions.
Well, you know, it was fun. About a month ago or so, I had my son was with me, and we went into the AT&T store, and I picked up my iPhone 6 Plus. Mm-hmm. And, while we were there, and he wanted to have a couple things done, he was switching phones, so he wanted to trade up to another phone that I had, so he took my old phone. So while we were there, and messing around, there's a really neat display at the AT&T store, and there's been many of them. You know, we saw some at Best Buy, where they talk about the Internet of Things and about how you can use app to control lights, thermostat, all sorts of things. You know, your heat, how to turn the heat on when, you know, from your phone on your way home, how to turn it up.
Security systems.
And the security systems and the cameras. And some are wired, some are wireless, and those hard to reach places where you want to put the cameras up. And it has gotten very sophisticated out here. I know the prediction show isn't until next week, but I will tell you what. I think that by the end of next year, all of us will have some sort of connection with what I'll call the Internet of what's called the Internet of Things. But I think that's going to be a big thing.
You know, I should have added that to my list. I had a gentleman in that I work with at General Motors, and he installed all that nesting. All that Nest material.
Oh, Nest,
Nest, that's what it was. I was trying to remember the name of it. You're right.
I use Nest.
Do you already?
Yeah, I have.
You're way ahead.
I have Nest. I have a Nest thermostat, and I also have a Nest CO2 smoke, a CO and smoke detector combination, and they both talk to each other.
Really?
Ooh.
Okay, so I want to know more about that.
If there's a fire in the house, the smoke detector will tell the thermostat, turn the furnace off so you don't feed the fire.
Wow, that
neat
is
idea.
Neat. So there's the internet interconnected into the things. Going to take a quick break, folks. It's your turn. 800-859-0957. It's the Internet Advisor, hour number two, your hour. What do I mean by that? Well, if you've kind of wandered by and found us, you may say, what in the world is this program? We've been here for about 17 years now, Gary. Matter of fact, this coming month, it will be our 17th year, won't it?
You know, we haven't always been on this time, but we're on 4 to 6 on Saturdays, assuming that MSU doesn't broadcast a basketball game or so. But we've been all over the dial, and we've been settled here for 4 or 5 years now.
Yep. And so we're going to be here today until 6 o'clock. Our lines are open at 800-859-0957. So you may have just kind of stumbled upon us and said, what is this? Well, there's a room full of experts here. Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, Cal Carson, all who have been involved for many, many decades in handling computers and diagnosing problems and dealing with them, especially Ed and Cal, who work with General Motors and work with executives there to help make things happen and fix problems. And so they've had a lot of practical hands-on experience. As a matter of fact, Ed, you were kind of kidding it. You know, the family gathering, I'm sure people had lots of questions for you about computers at that point.
Well, the only question they had is during the white elephant exchange, like, why did you give away a computer toolkit? You know, with all those minuscule, I wonder who this came from.
All right. Who's that? And, you know, there's lots of people that will hear us on one of our affiliate stations.
Yes, that's right.
Because we're syndicated. And if they would like to call in live, first of all, they can send us email, and we'll try to answer those anytime during the week or save it till the weekend. But if they want to call us live, they can also go on to the InternetAdvisor.net site and click on the link there, and they can listen to us live no matter where they are, even if they are in a different radio broadcast area. So
we'd love to hear. So let's get to our phones right now and talk with Dominic. Dominic, happy holidays, and welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Well, thanks, Foster. Appreciate the greetings, and I hope you guys have had a good holiday so far.
It's been a wonderful one, wild one, too. So what can we do for you?
Well, I've been listening to you guys for years. Really enjoyed the show, by the way. You guys do a great job.
Thank you.
I've got a computer I put together back in 08. I had it done by a commercial enterprise, but I demanded the best that was available at that time.
Right.
And I'm trying to figure out whether it's going to be practical or not to try to update from XP to 7 or 8. I've already got 7 on my laptop, and it's not bad. I've been told from other people that it's friendlier than 8 and its updates.
Okay.
But I don't know whether it's practical to go buy additional RAM
to get more performance out of XP. Now, let me give you, that's a very good question you're asking. I know, I think a lot of people around are asking that. Ed, you've got some thoughts.
I do, but I have to realize that this is in excess of a 6-year-old, possibly almost 17-year-old computer. And it, as much as I love building computers myself or upgrading them, you have to make a cutoff point on the laptop. or on the desktop computer. First, you have to make the decision: are you going to stay with the desktop, or are you considering a laptop?
I'm considering trying to keep the desktop.
Okay, you already had a laptop. Oh, you had a laptop that's running Windows 7. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the laptop's got 7 in it. It's deep. It's fast. It's good.
Yep.
But
because you'll have a hard time buying a desktop with Windows 7 on there. You'd have to go to a mom-and-pop shop, as you did before, or have someone build it for you and max it out, because I don't think you're going to be able to upgrade this. You'd have to replace the motherboard. You have a 7-year-old power supply in there. Right. That's probably ready to go. I mean, it's probably working, but
working for almost 7 years.
Well, yeah.
Well, basically, the monitor, the keyboard, the mouse, all that sort of stuff that's wrapped around it, it's probably fine.
Probably
you
fine.
Can still use
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I'd reach in, take the CPU out, back up whatever data that you need off that particular drive, or just take the whole drive and stick it into an external enclosure that's on USB. And then I'd go out and I'd buy a new CPU. So that would save you some money, because you wouldn't have to buy the entire computer all
yeah.
over again.
Yeah. So after you're looking, how much? $300 to $500?
Well,
if you get top of the line?
He sounds like a guy who wants a really robust machine. So I think he'd probably be paying somewhere more in the $500 or $600 range.
Okay.
I'm not a game player, but I just like things to happen when I ask for them.
Yeah. So I would definitely go with no less than 16 gig of memory. I'd go with no less than a 2 terabyte hard drive.
So when talking about a new motherboard?
So, yeah.
No, I'm talking about a new CPU.
Well, when you talk a CPU, that is a chip. You know, so
RAM?
You're talking about an entire tower or desktop,
the tower
with the power supply, the motherboard, the hard drive, the whole works.
Right.
Except for keyboard, mouse, monitor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, keyboard, mouse, monitor are all doing fine. I do have a 2 terabyte backup system external.
Good.
That I've backed things up with, but I've got to refresh it.
Dominic, let me give you an image. What you're asking about, remember the Yugos? Remember that car, the Yugo?
Yeah, yeah.
What you're talking about kind of is, can I put a V8 engine into a Yugo? Mm. Yeah, maybe, but I don't know if the car would even run. It probably would self-destruct at some point. The point is, there's a lot of other things under the hood that have changed, not just the operating system. So, you know, the power supply, the hard drive, the bus, everything has changed. So if you want performance, then getting rid of the tower you have right now, mm-hmm. say all the peripherals, but getting rid of that tower and then getting a refurbished, for instance.
Or a brand new and just spec it out yourself.
One.
The thing is, though, I mean, if you were to try to upgrade this one, you don't have access to your old computer anymore. What if something happens? Are you that critical piece of data? Or, what's that one program that I had? And you're not going to be able to power up that other computer with the Windows interface and expect it to function.
Well, what's even worse than that?
So
is
you just pull it out and then replace that whole box with another one.
Because here's the other thing, too. When he goes to, if he tries to upgrade the machine he has, he's going to have to buy the operating system. That's going to cost him at least $150
yes.
bucks
yes.
or more. He's all one-third of the way into a
yeah.
brand new machine.
Yep.
Why even monkey around with the old one? You could still keep the old one, just sit it off to the side as a backup or a temporary emergency unit or something like that.
Or turn it into a NAS.
But the new one is going to do a couple of things for you. One, it's going to give you the capabilities that you want. Number two, it's going to give you room for growth. And those are two things that you're going to need. If you kept a computer for 6 years, you're going to need a new one to be able to move ahead for another 6 years.
And Dominic, I don't know where you're in Farmington. Well, you're not too far from Micro Center. And there are other ones out there.
Well, Micro Center is the one that put that machine together for me.
Okay. I went to Micro Center, this is now 5-6 years ago, and picked up a refurbished Dell Inspiron tower for about $250, I think it was.
Yeah.
And it was running Windows 7. I've since upgraded it to Windows 8.1. But my point is that you will find refurbished machines very often. And you have some risks there. But that it's been running for 6 years, my wife. No, I do occasionally hear a holler from the other room, and I have to go in and rescue her.
But that isn't the hardware problem.
It's a husband problem.
Yeah,
in any case,
more of a picnic problem, right? Which is
I know the laptop that we had built through HP 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was an i7.
Mm-hmm.
And because that was the best they had at the time, and
right.
I guess they've gone up from there since then.
I think they still have the i7s, but it's a different level of i7. I think they're now running new Haswell processors, I hate that word, that are more energy efficient, that sort of thing. But you're definitely a candidate for a newer machine, in my opinion, but that's that's my opinion.
So, Dominic, the idea, and for the rest of you out there who maybe have XP machines and can I upgrade? Yeah, you probably can.
It's too big of a jump.
You can, but the problem is you're going to run into a world of problems doing that. You'd be better off looking for some of these less expensive towers that are out there. I mean desktops that are out there at places like Micro Center in Madison Heights, or you can find them online as well. And that will run you $250, $300, maybe a little over $300.
Less than that,
that will give you the opportunity, as Ed, I think one of you said, Cal, was it, you know, 16 megs, 16 gigabytes of RAM?
Yeah.
It will give you a chance to expand the RAM. Like, for instance, on mine right now, it only goes up to 4. So I'm very much thinking of doing something, putting like a solid-state hard drive in there.
You're going to have a hard time running Win 7 with 4 gig of RAM.
Yeah. You know, we all have solid-state today, right? As well as 8 to 16 gig of RAM.
Right, exactly.
And you know, they are a very different type of machine.
So, Dominic, there you are. Some food for thought. Not necessarily a definitive answer, but I hold us giving you something to chew on, okay? Happy New Year to you, and I hope that it's a prosperous one. We'll be back in just a minute with Rich from Westland. It's that time in our program for me to salute the people behind the glass. Irina, thank you very much for being our screener this evening, and thank you also to Rich Lozinski. Thank you guys very much for playing the very important role you do in helping us to produce this program. By the way, it seems the gremlins have been unleashed on the technical world. We've been experiencing some problems behind the scenes in our homepage, internetadvisor.net, that the folks at IGD Solutions are working on. Hopefully that'll be fixed by the time that you have to click over to internetadvisor.net for the show notes and for our podcast, which will be up on Sunday night. By the way, and some people have also, we had a number of emails about not being able to get our iTunes podcast. And that is something that we have been working on for 2 months. And I tell you, it is almost impossible to get untangled.
I have no problem because I use an Android.
You know, I have no problem. No, I have no problem either because I'm using Downcast as my aggregator. And it finds our podcast without a problem. But for some reason, iTunes has been fouled up. And we've been doing our very best to get it fixed. We will continue to do that. But if you want to get the latest podcast of our program, simply go to internetadvisor.net, click on the podcast link, and then you can either listen to it there, stream it there, or you can download it to your phone or wherever you'd like and listen to it at your leisure. Okay, phone number again, 800-859-0957. And let's go to Rich from Westland. Happy holidays, and welcome to the Internet Advisor, Rich.
Thank you. I have a printer that won't print off my computer.
Okay.
And I think it happened ever since my provider changed things. But I'm not sure.
Okay.
Is it a wireless printer?
No, it's the old style, old HP 750.
Is it hooked up with a USB cable?
If it's a 750, that sounds like almost like a parallel cable.
Yeah.
Is it the real wide flat cable, or is it a, you know, how big's the cable? How does it connect to your computer?
Well, I'm looking at it right now, and there's a round cable with a green light lit up.
Okay.
In the back, and then there is a kind of a square hole.
Yes.
In the back jack, but nothing's hooked up to that.
At the back, do you have a desktop computer?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay, at the bottom of your desktop computer, does it connect down there with a big flat?
Yeah, that I checked.
Oh, you know what? But you did mention that a few moments ago you were looking in the back of the printer. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. Is the connector in the back of the printer, does it sort of look like a house? You know where?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. There's supposed to be a cable that plugs into that from your computer if you're not wireless. So,
and I'm not wireless, and I bet you that's the problem.
Okay. You saw it plug into the back of the printer, right? And you said there was light.
But he says he does not see the cable plugged in there. He saw where the cable should be plugged into.
Right. There's one cable plugged in with a green light,
and
there's another.
That's the power.
Like a house that has no cable to it.
Yep.
And there's nothing plugged into that?
That would be the USB cable, correct?
Yes. Yep.
All right. So you're going to want to look down on the floor around there and see if you find another cable that has a
end on it that's shaped the same way as the house that's on the printer, and you're going to slide that one in, and then after you put that in the printer, follow the other end and make sure it's plugged into the computer.
You know, this is a very common problem, because remember, with USB cables, that's why I get paid so much. You know, this is... You know, USB cables, there's no screws. Remember the old cables, the 9-pin and the parallel cables? They all had the little ears that bent over so that...
Keep them stuck
in there. Stick it in the components so they won't pop out, or you screw them in. Yep. USB, they just slide right in. So a lot of times when people are rearranging things, or you have an internet service provider that's replacing your modem and doing stuff, they're moving things in your desk. Guess what pops out? The cable in the back of the printer.
Or if you're
in the pets. The
pets,
cats.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rich. What were you saying?
I'm a little embarrassed.
No.
Don't be embarrassed. Because sometimes, you know, the old thing is, excuse me, sir, is it plugged in? You know, that actually, that's happened to me. And I'm sure it's happened to everybody here at one point or another.
Right?
Yeah, for all of
us.
Just make sure that the connections are there between that. Just look for that USB link. Pop it back in. And if you want, restart your computer to make sure that it sees that printer again, and you should be good to go. Okay?
Matter of fact, if your computer is on when you plug that in, it should probably do a chirp noise, and down on the lower right-hand corner, it'll say, discovered USB device.
Right.
Oh, okay, good. Right.
So, Rich, when you ask a question like this, it reminds me of other times when people take their Ethernet connection, right? Mm-hmm. And they'll look and they'll say, oh, it's plugged in. And I'm going, you know what? If there's not the little green light, go back there and just push it in all the way.
Until you hear it snap.
And they go, oh, yeah, now the green light's on. Now you're connected, right?
So
and we've all done that. And I'm going, I know it was connected. And I pulled the modem or I pulled the router just a little bit and pulled it just away from a good seat. And that was the problem. I had to go back and push all of those in just that, you know, fraction of an inch longer, you know, farther in.
The good news, Rich, is that's an inexpensive fix, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's frustrating when you think, oh, no, it's got to be plugged in.
All right, Rich, happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Thanks for being there.
You're welcome. Thank you. I'm glad we could help. Okay, John from Grosse Pointe, welcome to WJR. How can we help you?
Well, I've got a problem that's started slowly and it's getting progressively worse. When I pull up a video on YouTube, I try to watch it, and it kind of stalls, and I move my cursor around on, and it plays again, and it's been doing it more and more frequently. But the real problem I'm having right now is it seems that when I try to listen to WJR on my computer, if I don't constantly move my cursor around, it doesn't play.
Hmm. Now, that is an interesting problem. That's different than my wife's. From when you were first talking, my wife was talking about she uses Facebook quite a bit, and it stopped. She goes, you know, I was having problems intermittently watching videos that are published on there that people link to YouTube or whatever, and it stopped. And what I had to do with her computer is go into her browser. In this instance, it was Chrome, Google Chrome, and had to clean her internet or temporary internet files. And then I also had to disable a few add-ons that had added themselves inadvertently and probably slowed down her browsing experience. So I had to use, I had to disable some add-ons or extensions within the Google. So what web browser are you using on yours?
Are you usually Firefox.
Okay. Have you just tried the experience with another web browser like the original Internet Explorer, or if you have another one like Google Chrome?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Now, the interesting one is the mouse movement. Cal, do you have any ideas on what could potentially cause that? I'm assuming you have is it a wireless mouse or is it a
wired
mouse? Do you plug it into your computer?
It's wired.
Okay.
The only thing that I can figure is that he just happens to be moving the mouse at the same time that it's buffered up enough of the YouTube video to be able to play
it. Sounds like a buffering issue. Now, buffering.
I would go more for a buffering issue. Yeah. I would do a couple of things. I would probably go into my browser and clear out the cache or empty the cache. The other thing that I would probably do is also go over to the modem itself, turn it off, wait about 15, 20 seconds, turn it back on, and then reconnect my browser up to the internet and see if it'll work there.
The other thing I thought of is you bring up an interesting point that happened years ago when we used to have serial mice. And the same is true with USB mice. When you're moving the mouse, you're actually telling the operating system, pay attention to me, pay attention to me, pay attention to me, right? So you're actually generating what are known as interrupts to move the mouse. Mm. So you're interrupting it enough where it has to pay attention to the mouse movement. I'd be curious to find out is if you were watching the videos and if you pressed the control key or the alt key at the same, instead of using the mouse, pressing a key to see if you got the same results if the video started moving again. And that would tell me that there's something. I can only speculate what it is. Possibly you're interrupting a virus that's on your computer. So you might want to download Malwarebytes if you haven't already done so. And you can get to that at internetadvisor.net, go to our toolkit, and under our anti-malware section, you can download a free copy of Malwarebytes to download, install, and run. But when you install it, do not use the free trial that they offer.
Right.
I mean, you can, but it provides real-time
protection.
Just watch
as it's installing.
Yeah, and Malwarebytes is a utility that scans for malicious software, and it's on demand. I want it to run now.
John, one other thing for you. Just as a diagnostic thing, we suggest to you and to everyone else who's listening, have at least two browsers on your computer. Internet Explorer, plus you like Firefox or Chrome. And it's precisely so that when something like this happens, you can go to the other browser and see if you can replicate the same problem. If the problem doesn't come up, it means that your problem is in the browser you're using and not in your internet connection, okay?
Okay.
So do you have another browser on the computer?
Yes.
Okay, what is that browser?
We have Internet Explorer and we have Chrome.
Okay, have you found the same problem in those browsers?
I haven't really used it on either of those.
All right, try it in either of those and then get back in touch with us and tell us what's going on, okay?
Okay.
All right, happy holidays to you in the meantime. Happy New Year. We'll be back to take some more calls to wrap things up at 800-859-0957. The Internet Advisor, on the air for you. I want to thank all of you out there who joined us for this live edition of The Internet Advisor. By the way, coming up on January the 3rd in the brand new year 2015, we are going to have a very special program, 3 hours long. We're going to be on from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock in the evening. Coming up on January the 3rd, it'll be our predictions program.
And it's going to get us in trouble, right? Because we always predict something that doesn't quite pan out, right?
Well, we were just kind of talking about that here in the studio. What are the things that will be coming up in 2015? You'll have to chime in. Everybody's going to have their predictions, and we'll make those available on our homepage. But it should be a lot of fun. Coming up on January the 3rd, starting at 4 o'clock, going until 7 o'clock. Lots of time for you folks to get your calls in as well. So let's wrap up our program today and check in with Randy from Oak Park. Randy, welcome to the Internet Advisor, and happy holidays to you. How can we help you?
Thank you. Same to you guys.
Thank you.
I've got a scenario. It was interesting. I just talked to a buddy of mine, and then all of a sudden you guys are on, just found you on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got an XP laptop that I use for work.
Okay.
And I want to move it up to OS 7. And I've got OS 7 Ultimate here. And I asked my buddy if I could do that. He said he's done that upgrade without too much trouble. My concern is I either want to go that here. It's kind of a choice of two evils here, just even having to do this because I use my computer for work. But it's either XP to OS 7, or I have an OS 8 gateway laptop and bringing that back to OS 7 and trying to move the operating system off the new laptop and put, because I don't want OS 8, I want OS 7.
What is it about 7 that you want over OS 8.1?
I'm not into the whole pictures, having pictures for everything.
Okay, just so you are aware, there are things, and Ed mentioned this earlier in the program, there are software packages you can download that will give you the what's called the classic start. Am I right, Ed? That's called the classic start in Windows 8. So you could take that Windows 8, that brand new machine, because it's got so much under the hood that has been improved since Windows 7. I would like you to take advantage of that, and if your main issue is you don't want to have the Metro, those picture windows up there, you can solve that by installing this called Classic Start, and Ed, you maybe can lead us to that webpage, that will allow you to use the OS 8.1, which is the update, and use it with a system that looks an awful lot like Windows 7.
Yeah, and Windows 8 is much more efficient than Windows 7.
Safer.
It's safer. It's got a lot more security. So there's a lot to like about it. But if you're just looking at the interface, I agree with Foster.
If the big issue for you is that Metro interface with the pictures and everything else like that, am I right that it sounds like that's the big issue for you, Randy?
Well, I don't know enough about OS 8 to be able to really answer that. You know, I got the machine and it's basically sat there just as a traveling machine if I needed it.
Yeah.
And the thing is I'm concerned, you know, if I actually, my work machine is the XP and moving that to OS 7 and knowing if the drivers that if OS 7 will find the drivers that I'm using on my XP machine.
Okay.
Right now.
All right, then there's two things then. Let's separate that out. Let's see if we can...
You know, I'm trying to remember Microsoft's tool that they actually have for testing the computer to see if it meets the minimum requirements.
The migration assistant, I thought.
Yeah, I think it's the Windows Upgrade Advisor or something like that. I'm trying to discover what that is. But Windows 7 has a minimum requirement of a processor that's at least a gigahertz, one or 2 gigabyte of RAM, and maybe 20 gigabyte of disk drive storage that's available. And
yeah, I'd be moving it to a terabyte. I've got a terabyte external drive.
Yeah, but it has to have...
I would lay a handful of money down right here on the table and go against it if you want to, but that laptop that he has, if it's running XP, is not going to be robust enough to run Windows 7.
Yep.
I'm guessing that's you're right.
And you'd be better...
The most I can go is 2 gigabytes of RAM. That's all.
Oh, no.
You'd be better served just keeping that laptop just the way it is
as a backup.
And continue to do your business on that for right now. Fix the other one up, and then slowly take one application at a time and try it on that Windows 8 machine.
Yeah.
See if it works, and then go to the next one and the next one. When you got them all working on the 8 one, then you can walk away from the XP machine.
Well, and I think Ed was right. Upgrade Advisor from Microsoft. You could take and use that to determine what's on your XP machine now that will have no problem running under Windows 8.1. And if you find something that you have a problem with, then you got to figure out how if you can get drivers for it or not.
And here's the other problem with that. It's a good idea, but the problem is that, yes, it'll say it'll run under that machine, but how well it's going to run is going to be determined on the actual hardware.
No. I agree with that.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
I mean, the whole idea is if he has something on XP that won't work on 8.1, we ought to know it before he tries 8.1 rather than afterwards.
Well, that's the reason why,
that's the reason why
I said that he should just leave his XP machine the way it is. He can continue to function with it, experiment on the 8.1 machine.
Yep.
Even if the drivers don't work, he won't be out of commission. He'll still have his machine to work with.
Right. Let me give you one other alternative I've thought about, because I've got a Cronus either for backup or for doing a mirror of the drive.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm actually thinking is I've got a terabyte external drive to the XP system.
Mm-hmm.
If I go ahead and just do a backup of everything onto using a Cronus and then take that backup and try and put that onto my OS 8 machine.
Is not going to work.
No, it won't.
Yeah, that's not, because when you're talking about a backup, are you backing up the data, or are you talking about taking an image of your entire computer and put it on the other?
Well, I know the image won't transfer.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Then, you know, well, I'm not sure how well a Cronus does cross-platform between operating systems.
That's what the question is. Exactly.
Yeah, and
I don't
know.
And again, we're coming back, Randy, to the situation where this new Windows 8 machine has so much more under the hood. Now, I'm not trying to sell you something here, except to say that a Windows 8 machine, the whole operating system has been updated. Everything has been built to work better for you. The more security has been built into it. Windows Defender, does it look different? Yes, it looks different. But there are ways to make it look more like Windows 7 that may make it easier for you to use.
Right.
And in the next year, you'll be able to upgrade to Windows 10, which I can guarantee from using it, looks an awful lot like Windows 7.
And if you were going to migrate data, I mean, it's good that you're going to back up your data using a Cronus. It's a wonderful backup utility. But I would stick, you know, after you've done that, I would use Microsoft's file and transfer wizard that you would use between Windows 8 and an older operating system like Windows XP, that where Microsoft puts all your My Documents, your favorites, your application extensions, your printer definitions. It'll move it from one operating system to another in a manner that's compatible between the two operating systems.
That's a really good suggestion. I appreciate, because I know that they went a long way to create a good transfer facility.
Yes.
Yeah. And make sure that your Windows 8 machine has been updated to Windows 8.1.2, I think it is.
Can I just get that online, or is that something that I've got to pay for?
No. The upgrades are there. If you have a Windows 8 machine, you just turn it on. As a matter of fact, if you haven't run it in a while, when you turn it on, it probably is going to tell you have to upgrade this thing.
And if you wanted to make your Windows 8 system look like your Windows XP system, you can download Classic Shell from classicshell.net.
Okay.
Classicshell.net.
And it gives you that classic Windows XP, Windows Vista, Windows 7 look and feel.
Okay.
All right, guys.
Randy, I have a good new year. I hope it's a fine one. By the way, keep in touch with us through our email at internetadvisor.net. Let us know how it goes, okay? Thank you so much. Ben, sorry we couldn't get to you, but we'll be with you in a brand new year. As they say, see you next year. We're going to have a special program on January the 3rd from 4 until 7 p.m. live here on WJR 760 AM in Detroit. The rest of you out there, thank you very much for a great year, guys. Thanks so much, Gary, Ed, Cal. Shane couldn't be with us, a little under the weather.
Another year.
Another year bites the dust. We'll be back for our 17th year coming up here on the Internet Advisor. Thanks so much, Arena and Rich, for working behind the glass. And the rest of you, Happy New Year.